And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio, the podcast. Thank you all so much for your prayers, your support. Thank you for the wonderful support that you gave us during Share-a-thon. I was so pleased to be able to participate in that. And thank you all for your prayers, for your financial support of this great network. And God bless all of you for just sticking with us. Folks, with each passing day, it becomes clearer and clearer how important American Family Radio is. Let me just tell you all, I've got a lot to talk about here in the time we've got. But let me just tell you all about some things that are happening that underscore this. I have a pack. It's called Stand America Pack. You can find out more about it by going to standamericapack.us. That's Stand America PAC.us. We're running ads in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. And those ads are primarily directed to the Black Christian community. So we're running them primarily, with a couple of exceptions, primarily on gospel radio stations. I think I may have shared this with you before. First, the largest gospel radio station in Georgia, WPZE, refused to run any of our ads. And among those ads was one that just said, you know, Christians, vote your Christian values. No, we're not running it. Another ad about killing unborn babies, what they call abortion, right? And how important it is to the Black community, because it is disproportionately affecting the Black community and the Black population. We won't run that ad. Gender confusion and putting men on women's sports teams, and how Comrade Kamala supports it, Donald Trump opposes it. We won't run that ad. Immigration, how it affects America, how it affects the Black community particularly, and poor communities in general. People just trying to get into the workforce. We won't run that ad. They censored us. Had another radio station in Columbus, Georgia. This was right in Atlanta. In Columbus, Georgia, say, well, we're not running any of your ads. And these are Christian ads focused and designed for Christians to appeal to their Christian conscience. And these gospel radio stations that claim to be Christian will not run the ads. Thank God for American Family Radio. Really, folks, I'm serious. Thank God for American Family Radio. Because we are unabashedly, uncompromisingly Christian. And we don't play games with that. We don't play these political games with that. For example, you'll hear our hosts criticize Donald Trump. Things that we think he says or does that we don't agree with as Christians. Even though we might be supporting him, anybody, given person might be supporting him for election, but still is willing to say, but that's when what he said was not right. Or I don't agree with him there. I mean, I've talked about the fact that I don't appreciate the fact that he's kind of watering down his stand on life. But I am still absolutely, unequivocally supporting Donald Trump because this is a binary choice. And Jesus is not on the ballot, as I like to say. It is Donald Trump versus Kamala Harris. Donald Trump, who has appointed three judges and gotten Roe v. Wade overturned, versus Comrade Kamala, who is willing to allow unborn babies to be slaughtered up until the moment of birth. And even when they're born with an intended abortion, they're born alive, it is still okay even then to kill that baby. Now, it's an easy choice. It's an easy choice. But we are first and foremost Christians, not Trumpians, Christians. And we stand on the word of God. But these folks claiming to be Christians who will not run Christian ads because, frankly, because they don't support the candidate that they're willing to support, who is pretty much against everything the Bible teaches. I mean, you know, it's amazing. So forgive me, folks, because this may come across as somewhat self-serving because I'm part of the AFR network, but it's just the truth. Thank God for American Family Radio, because here again, you know, dealing with these Christian stations, so-called, you would think, oh, no problem. No, No. Our Christianity is not first. Our commitment to a particular party and a particular candidate, that's what's first. Well, not for us. Our commitment to Jesus Christ is first and foremost above all, and nobody even comes close when you start making comparisons. So, thank you all for supporting us. So let me get to all the things I've got to try to get to here before I run out of time, because there is a lot to talk about. Oh, before I get to that, one other thing. For those of you who are listening from the Tampa, Florida area, I'm going to be speaking in Tampa, Florida on November the 3rd in the morning service at Believers Fellowship, and the afternoon service is going to be at the crossing, and that's at 10130 Tuscany Ridge Drive in Tampa, Florida. That's the afternoon service, and the morning service is going to be again at Believers Fellowship, and that's at 5240 North Socrum Loop Road, 5240 North Socrum Loop Road, Believers Fellowship, and where the pastor, John, I believe that's Freet, is the pastor. That's Sunday, November the 3rd. So if you're in the area, please stop by. I would love to have an opportunity to shake your hand and get to meet you. By the way, I was at Answers in Genesis, when you hear this, a week ago, and got an opportunity to meet several American Family Radio listeners, AFR listeners, who recognized me, came up to me, said, "Oh, you're E.W. Jackson, you're Bishop Jackson, it's so great to meet you." And I was glad to meet them, too. It's always wonderful to meet fellow believers who are just committed to saving this country and keeping this nation a nation whose God is the Lord. I think about the contrast. Well, you know what? Let me not get ahead of myself. So I was glad to run into you. And if I have a chance to see you in Tampa, it would be wonderful to see you there. Several things I want to talk about. So rather than I was about to launch into another little subject, but I'll wait on that and fold it in to the main topic that I want to get to. Really, two main topics I want to get to today. Here's number one. You all have noticed, I'm sure, that a sense of panic is setting in to the Democrat Party, to Comrade Kamala, because they're not getting the support from black men that they think they need in order for her to win. And they're very concerned about that. Right now, it appears that 1 in 5 black men is planning to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, that's at least 20%. I'm shooting for 25%. As I said, we're my PAC is doing ads in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, trying to galvanize the Christian community to stand up for their Christian values and vote for the candidate who best approximates their Christian ideals, okay? And nobody's going to do that perfectly, okay? Jesus is not on the ballot, but again, it's a binary choice. But they're very, very concerned because they're not getting the vote from black men. So let me just speak to that. And I think that I can do that with some authority since I am a black man. it's a shame that we have to think in these terms, but this is the reality that we face And we've just got to deal with it. We've got to deal with life as it comes at us. Okay. We can't pretend that it's otherwise. Okay. So they're all worked up because they think, you know, we're not getting the support for black men. James Clyburn came out recently and said, I'm very concerned about black men voting for Trump. And obviously they're trotting him out a little bit, but they've also trotted out the Democrat Messiah, Barack Obama, to appeal to black men. So let me speak to that issue first. First of all, folks, not to put too fine a point on this, as you all know, I was in foster care for the first 10 years of my life and raised by some nice people. My foster mother, who I call Mama, Mrs. Rebecca Mollett, and my foster father, who I called him Willie, because I knew I had a biological father who I did know and did see. I didn't really see my mother, so she kind of really emotionally became my mother for me. But my father, William Jackson, was a proud black man in America. And what success I've experienced, I have to attribute to the grace of God and the wonderful daddy. I was talking to my publisher earlier, because I've got another book in the works that will be out early next year. And, you know, he said, I really need you to write something that, you know, sort of talks about your background. And he said, you know, I know you don't like tooting your own horn. And he's right, I don't. I just don't, because I feel that the only horn we really ought to be tooting is God's. Okay. But I said, but I never mind saying this. Whatever success I've had because I live in the greatest nation the world has ever known. And I have opportunity that the world envies. And that is true for me, and that is true for every single American, regardless of the color of their skin, no matter what these lying leftists tell you. And I said, I don't mind bragging on my daddy, because my daddy was really wise and really determined and strong, and instilled qualities in me that I know. So to reset the trajectory of my life, because as I've said, I was on my way to the penitentiary, because the people I was hanging around and the people I was admiring, those were the people who had been to the penitentiary, or the people were on their way to the penitentiary, and I was in line to go to the penitentiary so I could have bragging rights. Yeah, I did 4 years, I did 3 years, and come out and everybody sort of tiptoes around you because you're a bad man. That's the kind of skewed, perverse thinking that I had become immersed in. My father changed all of that for me. And he said he was a proud black man. I can remember two things. I may have shared this with you before. But, you know, during that time, with all the Great Society stuff going around, because remember, I was growing up during the 60s when, you know, Kennedy was killed. Johnson was in office shortly after that. And when the real big welfare push started, and they would go around, they would knock on people's doors in the black community. We called it the ghetto then. They call it the hood now. But, you know, we got cheese. We got powdered milk. And I can remember my father used to say, I work for a living. I don't take handouts. And I watched my father go to Sunship Building and Dry Dock Company day in and day out. In the snow, in the rain, in the cold. I don't remember my father ever missing any time at work from being sick. Now, that's the truth. I'm not saying he didn't, but I don't recall it. That's the kind of man that I was exposed to. Now, when you trot out Barack Obama to try to advise me what's best for me, first of all, I don't even see Barack Obama as a real man. I'm serious. I don't know that Barack Obama really knows what he is. I mean, remember the report that came out? And this is verified, that he's writing letters to some girl telling her how he's having fantasies of having intimate relations with other men. And I don't know whether you all saw that the abominable exercise video that he did. Did you all see that? Oh, Lord. When I saw that, I mean, it confirmed all my suspicions about him, because it was the daintiest workout I've ever seen in my life, and that's by man or woman. I mean, folks, I'm in my early 70s, and my workout is still more vigorous than that. You know, it's like, what? It was embarrassing. And that's who you trot out to tell me, as a black man, how I ought to vote? Obama is effete. To me, he is. I wouldn't go so far as to say he's effeminate, but he's certainly not masculine. Hey, I'm just being honest. He's certainly not masculine. And I think that's what black men are responding to. They're tired of being told. And this brings me to the next point. Why would I listen to a party that tells me that there's no difference between a man and a woman, but this is going to tell me as a man, here's how you ought to vote? Well, how can you tell me as a man how I ought to vote when you say there's no difference between a man and a woman? I mean, sorry. you don't get the privilege when you trot out Supreme Court justices who say, when asked, well, what is a woman? I don't know what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. Wait a minute. You were chosen because you're a black woman, but you don't know what a woman is? And, you know, I pointed this out. Folks, this is a little on the sensitive side, but let me get it out there. Well, first of all, I'll just say, I can't listen to people who tell me that that gender is fluid. But here's what you as a black man ought to do. I don't need your fluidity, thank you very much. And so, and you want to put guys, a 6'2", 215-pound guy, swimming with 130-pound, 5'2", 5'3", he's a foot taller than they are, and outweighs them by almost 100 pounds, and you want to have him swimming with them, and have guys on sports teams, and have guys playing girls volleyball, and all, and then you want to tell me as a man, well, let me just tell you what you need to do as a man. Sorry, you're disqualified. The whole party is disqualified, as far as I'm concerned. But look. Think about this. This is why they're failing so miserably in trying to reach black men, because there is, and this is the sensitive part that I want to say, but and I hope you all will receive it as I'm giving it, because I've observed it. I really believe, I said this before, that the Democrat Party still has the spirit of slavery in it. Now, of course, it's not physical slavery that anybody's engaged in, not as a party, but it is a kind of psychological slavery, a kind of way of exercising control by fear-mongering and manipulation, and you can't do it without us, and you need us. And folks, real men don't want to hear that. Real men want to be defenders and protectors of their families and their property and their lives. They want to be guardians. Real men want to have a level of independence, if you will, and feel like they can stand on their own two feet. Not that all of us don't need help and support, but real men don't go around looking to use other people to do for them what they know they can do for themselves. And the Democrat Party is the opposite. They want to teach people dependence. They want to teach people how not to be a man. And thank God, black men are waking up to this and realizing these people are trying to emasculate you. They're not trying to help you. They're not trying to strengthen you. They're not trying to grow you. They're trying to emasculate you. And that is why, my Christian brothers and sisters, these leftists lean toward promoting black women over black men. Now, I know, boy, they talk about that. That's controversial, isn't it? But it's the truth. Because they feel more comfortable with women because they feel like women will be less aggressive, less likely to rebel, less likely to disobey. I'm not saying that all of this is true, that what they think is true. I'm just saying that this is what they think. I mean, think about it. What did Biden say about choosing a Supreme Court justice? I'm going to choose a black woman. Who did he choose for his vice presidential running mate? A black woman. Who's the most seen, the most prominent spokesperson for the administration every single day on television for 1 to 2 hours in some cases? A black woman. Not a man in any of those positions. You think that's a coincidence? No, it is not. It is not. Because frankly, they want to emasculate men and promote women so that they can have more control, or at least as they see it. Now, I know some people say, well, now you're denigrating women. I'm not saying all of this, that their perception of things is true. I'm just saying this is the way they perceive things. And you know, when you get a black woman to say, who is has risen to the level of intellectual achievement, presumably, where she is nominated for a Supreme Court seat, you would think that when asked, can you define a woman, at the very least she would have the sense to say, well, I'm one. But no. Oh no, I can't define what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. In other words, you can't even define yourself as a woman. And yet, that's one of the reasons why you were chosen. So what I have found, see, this is the difference, though, between this identity politics, as we refer to it, and the policies and politics of merit. See, because in identity politics, merit takes a back seat, and identity is in the front seat. That's the most important thing. Well, if you can do the job, well, okay. I mean, we'll take that into consideration, but that's not what's most important. What's most important is, do you fit the slot that we have carved out for you? Your competence is secondary, if to be considered at all. And this is what you get when you approach things that way. And men are competitors. Men are guardians. Men are. I believe God designed men to be warriors. And that's not what these Democrats want. They want people they can control. They want people they can manipulate. They want people who they can use fear-mongering to get them to do what they want them to do. And what they're finding is, there's a group of black men arising in rebellion and saying, I've had it. I'm not going for the okey-doke anymore. I pray that that number grows tremendously and just absolutely explodes. So let me just share with you the politics of this, and I want to move on to another issue. Kamala Harris understands something. That in states like Pennsylvania, 13% black population, North Carolina, 20% black population, Georgia, almost a third black population, they understand something. They need an overwhelming black vote in order to overcome the other Americans that are going to vote against them because they understand what their policies are and they don't like them. So if they can get enough black voters to put aside all policy considerations and vote race, man, they can carry the day in states like the ones I've just named, states where my PAC is doing the advertising. They can carry the day. But if Comrade Kamala is instead held to below 80%, what she wants to do is get about 92 to 95% of the black vote, which is what Barack Obama did. But if she can be held instead to below 80% even, she's in trouble. And that's why they're panicking. Because if you're already going to lose one out of five black men, that puts you at 80% right there. You can't get to the into the 90s if that's the level of loss that you're suffering. And this may be indicative of a trend. If it is, and I'm certainly doing my part to make sure that it is, she may be even stuck down somewhere between 75% and 78%, which is just worse. And again, show you how important this is. In the 2020 election, 5 million votes were cast in Georgia. Donald Trump, leaving aside cheating, leaving aside all the shenanigans that took place, Donald Trump lost by only 11,777 votes. Now, just my broad math, okay, haven't done the exact numbers, but my broad math, that's of all the votes cast, that is 1/5 of 1% of the votes cast. Not a percent, but 1/5 of 1%. Or in other words, 0.2% out of 5 million votes cast. Out of that 5 million votes cast, about 1.5 million of those votes were cast by black Georgians. It's even a small percentage of the number of black votes cast. Which means what? If you can move those voters in a close election even less than 1%, it could make all the difference. And Kamala Harris knows that. I have to be honest with you. I don't know that Republicans get that. But yours truly does. And that's why I do this sort of strategic work. There are plenty of people spending lots of time and lots of money and lots of energy on reaching broad swaths of the population. You know, all the men, all the women, all, you know, you name it. But folks, I have to tell you, in my view, the Republican Party has not yet caught on to the strategic importance of moving as many black voters as they can into the Republican column. I think Donald Trump gets it, frankly. I don't know that he's put the energy into it and the money into it that he should, because if he did, he would be talking to me, because I could tell him exactly what he needs to do. But I know he gets it far better than the Republican Party does. I don't think the Republican Party understands it at all. I really don't. I don't think they get it at all. So we're working on it. If you want to find out more about what we're doing, you want to hear the spots that we're running, go to standamericapac.us. That's standamericapac.us. Okay, let me come to the next issue. By the way, early voting's already started, as you all know. And I've already voted, by the way. So if you haven't voted yet, go ahead and get it done. Let's just go ahead and make the most of it. This is the system we're faced with. Let's deal with it, okay? Let's take advantage of it. Spend your time trying to get other people out to vote. You've already cast your vote. That's what I'm doing. In fact, I cast my vote on the day this program was aired. So, and needless to say, I voted for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. I mean, you don't need to tell me to tell you that, but just so you know, you know, let there be no mistake who I voted for. Okay, let's talk about another issue now. I want to get to this issue of illegal immigration. And by the way, one of the spots, as I said, that I'm doing is on illegal immigration, because illegal immigration always hurts the people who are most marginal in the economy, because these illegal immigrants come in and they take those starting jobs. They take those low-level jobs, maybe those stepping stone jobs. They take those jobs away from people. Now, what is one of the groups most affected by that? The Black community, where there's a high level of poverty, particularly in the inner city, and these folks come in and sweep those jobs up. So J.D. Vance made a comment about these Venezuelan gangs that are operating all over the country now, in several places in the country now. But this city, Aurora, Colorado, somebody captured video of these gangs going and taking over an apartment complex. And J.D. Vance brought this up with this ABC reporter, you know, these folks, Martha Raddatz. And she immediately tried to correct him. The mayor said that they only took over a handful of apartment complexes, a handful. And J.D. Vance says, do you hear yourself? She lives, I understand, at a $2 million mansion. How about if they just take over a handful of the million-dollar mansions in your neighborhood? So that you could then say, well, they only took over a handful of the mansions in our neighborhood. It is utterly ridiculous. I mean, really. But these people are so committed to this globalist vision, and frankly, in my view, so disdainful of how the average American lives. Martha Raddatz is not going to get anywhere near an apartment building, let me tell you. So it's easy for her to dismiss it. Oh, it's only a handful. Well, that could be indicative of a trend. And right now, apparently, this group, Tren de Aragua, is spreading. Because Venezuela's shipping them here to get them out of their country. Just like, remember, Castro sent all the criminals to America? And J.D. Vance just said, do you hear yourself? But look, folks, the Perkins Coie law firm did a report for banks that had loans, mortgages on these properties in question, on several of them, so to report back to the bank whether these properties were in jeopardy of being taken over by these gangs, and they issued a report. They had no dog in the fight. They could easily have come back and said, we checked it out, there's nothing to it, it's not happening. Because the mayor saying, oh, it's being overstated, and of course, you know, all the politicians, oh no, we don't have a problem, there's nothing to see here. And of course, all the liberals then echo that. See, they told you it's only a handful of apartment buildings that they're taking over. Here's what the report said that they issued. Quote, the evidence we have reviewed indicates that gang members are engaging in flagrant trespass violations, assaults and battery, human trafficking, sexual abuse of minors, unlawful firearms possession, extortion, and other criminal activities, often targeting vulnerable Venezuelan and other migrant populations. That's what an objective law firm did. And by the way, they shared this report with the mayor and with other city officials. What do you think they did with it? Promptly ignored it. They went on to say, this is the Whispering Pines report. They went on to say, Tren de Aragua has threatened to kill, and in certain instances, it's apparently actively attempted to kill members of Whispering Pines management. So one apartment complex where they actually told the managers, you either shut up or we will kill you. It says a consultant for the property was severely beaten and stomped by gang members and hospitalized. I'm quoting from their report. The property manager said gang members allegedly stabbed a Whispering Pines resident for refusing to pay rent to the gang. In other words, they told the resident, you don't pay rent to the landlord anymore. You pay rent to us. And they said one gang member was quoted as saying, this is our business plan. If the property manager doesn't like it, we'll fill him with bullets. They say it's a brazen and further exhibition of the gang members' sense of comfort and control, consistent with their taking over the property and not fearing law enforcement or the property management. Oh, but there's nothing to see here. Oh, no, no, no. It's just a handful of, you know, guys just kind of, you know, having a good time. Bringing a little Venezuelan flavor to the city of Aurora. Maybe testing it out and then figuring out how this works so that they can do it in other cities. Soon coming to a neighborhood near you. But Americans, don't worry about these little silly things. Don't. It's nothing. I don't know whether you all caught this interview that Trump did with Bloomberg yesterday. And the interviewer says to him, do you really plan to deport 11 million people? Folks, anybody who thinks that we have 11 million immigrants in our illegal aliens, forgive me, I refuse to use immigrants, illegal aliens, illegal invaders in our country today, I got a great big old bridge in Brooklyn, I'll sell you cheap. They have been using the number 11 million for the last 20 years. I've said before, I guarantee you, that number is 30 million at a minimum. I mean, my goodness, we've added, in the Biden administration, we've added at least 10 million. And we're still adding them every single day. You know, they have a quota to bring in 30,000 a month through some sort of bogus program that they've got. These are considered, quote unquote, legal. We don't even count them. It is utterly ridiculous. And again, coming back to this whole issue then of trying to get the votes of black men, why in the world would a black man want to vote for a party, or why in the world should any American for that matter? I don't know where these votes for Kamala Harris are coming from, to tell you the truth, people who've got good sense. Donald Trump said, you know, the Republican Party is really, you could call it the party of common sense. Forget about conservative, liberal. It's the party of common sense. He is absolutely right about that. Why in the world would anybody, and certainly any black man, want to vote for a party that is invading your country with illegal immigrants who are taking over apartment complexes and intimidating people, threatening people, trying to kill people who won't go along? Not to mention all the street crime that this is engendering all over the country. They made the entire country less safe, and they made all of us, frankly, have to look over our shoulders these days. Because you just never know. You know, I've said many times, I am much more circumspect now about crime than I've ever been in my life. I'm not paranoid or anything, but I just realize we really do live in a time of heightened criminal activity. And it's just that plain and simple. And this moderator tried to tell him, well, now we know that crime is down. Well, maybe in your neighborhood it is. I mean, these people play these games. Crime is down. Down where? So, thank God that somebody is raising this issue and putting the reality of it before us. The contrast for this upcoming election, folks, is really quite stark. And think about this. Trump held a rally not too long ago in which the entire crowd could be heard singing, "How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made." The crowd is singing, "How great thou art." You know what they were singing at the Democrat Party? They were singing Megan Thee Stallion's filthy, nasty, degrading lyrics that are too vile for me to report, for me to repeat. And by the way, I've never repeated those lyrics, not even privately, not even talking to my wife, because I wouldn't, they're so nasty, I wouldn't even say them. I don't want that mess coming out of my mouth. And they're all partying to this. That's the contrast. Do we want our country, our culture, our society to become degenerate, depraved, disgusting, filthy, nasty, godless? Or do we want a modicum of civility and decency and honor and integrity and righteousness to reign? Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. It's clear that one party is trying to get us reproached, and the other party, not perfectly, of course, and not everybody in that party, of course, but generally speaking, the other party is trying to get righteousness to exalt our nation. I've had my share of problems and criticisms of the Republican Party, but I do know some people in the Republican Party who just are the salt of the earth. I mean, just wonderful people. I would entrust this country to them because I know that they love God, they love this nation, they truly care about the American people, and they're not trying to figure out how to feather their own nest, but trying to figure out how can we better serve the American people? How can we have the American people live more free, more prosperous, with more hope, more opportunity, more vision for an even greater future than the past? How can we do that? Whereas the other party is asking, how can we get more control? How can we have more government? How can we spend more money? How can we conform this nation to our own perverse vision of what life should be? How can we kill more unborn babies? How can we operate on more children and change their God-given gender? How can we bring more illegal aliens into this country to give us a power base so that we can control everything and everybody? How can we pack the Supreme Court? How can we do away with the filibuster? How can we give all of these illegal invaders the opportunity to vote to help make sure that we get into power and stay in power forever? Those are the questions they're asking. Yeah, save the planet? Yeah, right. Turn your life over to me and I'll save you. That's really what this is all about. That's really what the climate change is all about. Turn your life over to me and I'll save you. Well, the fact of the matter is we already have a savior. Thank you very much. And it certainly is not Kamala Harris. It's not even Donald Trump. It's Jesus. But thank God he sends us people who can help us in our condition. And I'll tell you something, folks, with all the criticisms one can have of Donald Trump, I really believe, I've said, one could debate, is Donald Trump's hand in God's hand? But I don't think one could debate that God's hand is on Donald Trump. That's the way I see it. I really believe God has used him. In fact, I said, I believe with all my heart, God protected him from the assassin's bullet. Not for Donald Trump's sake alone, but for the sake of all of us. Well, Michelle Obama is out trying to recruit drag queens And she's trying to get Cardi B, another foul-mouthed vixen, because that's what it's going to take to get people out to vote. She's going to actually try. They're going to actually do drag queen shows to get people out to vote. I kid you not, folks. Well, we shouldn't be surprised if the Navy is willing to do a drag queen commercial to get people, try to get people to join the Navy. Are we surprised that Michelle Obama would think doing a drag queen show would help get people out to vote? Well, look, I've said before, and I'll end on this. Why in the world would black folks vote for some administration that over the last 4 years has robbed them of income, brought millions of illegal immigrants into this country to compete for their jobs, treated them like sycophants and servants and slaves who had better vote for them or else, are telling people that if you won't cooperate with your child's hormone treatment and operation in order to change their gender, which is an impossibility, but if you won't do that, we'll take your child from you. Why in the world would anybody vote for people who spew that garbage? Well, obviously there are a lot of misguided people, a lot of indoctrinated people, a lot of brainwashed people who will, but we've got to awaken everybody who can be awakened to the threat that this poses. They talk about Donald Trump being a threat to our democracy. Please. First of all, we're not a democracy, but the real threat is to our constitutional republic by people who don't respect the Constitution, don't respect the rule of law, and don't respect you and me, don't respect the American people, certainly don't respect Christians. So we've got a job to do, folks. We have got a job to do, and we're down to 3 weeks to get the job done. Like I said, I've already voted. Get out there and vote and spend your time trying to make sure that others get out there and vote and then that they work the polls. I just had on my National Awakening Coalition conference call, J. Christian Adams, who is working very hard to make sure that these elections are done with integrity. And he's got some good news and bad news. As you know, the Justice Department is even suing Virginia for purging the rolls of illegal aliens. They're saying because you're not allowed to do that so close to the election. So there may be some technical issue there. But you would think that DOJ would say, well, you know what? If we're getting people off the rolls who shouldn't vote, let's fight that fight another day. Oh, no. They're suing to stop states from getting people off the rolls who aren't American citizens. It's the same thing as with voter ID. These people want to maintain as much latitude as possible to allow them to cheat. We've got to do everything in our power to make it as hard as possible, if not impossible, for them to cheat. So there you go, folks. let's get it done. So that 3 weeks hence, we can celebrate that we have pulled our country back from the brink, that we have once again, forgive the pun, but it seems an appropriate one, dodge the bullet. In fact, maybe that's partly what God is saying to us. I'm going to help this nation dodge the bullet the same way I helped Donald Trump dodge the bullet. So God bless each and every one of you. It's always wonderful to have an opportunity to share with you. You can get in touch with me, by the way, at ewjackson@ewjackson.com. ewjackson@ewjackson.com. Again, visit our website, standamericapac.us, and check it out. We're going to be working. Folks, we're going to be running right through the election. We're not running to the election. We're running through the election. We're running through the finish line. No let up. Okay, so we're running for victory for America. This is about something far bigger than any candidate. This is about the future of our country. So you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.